Well, good evening. Can you hear me? Thanks for inviting me to come. Appreciate being here again. I'd hope my wife would be with me, but she usually is. We were in Asheville and celebrating her youngest daughter's birthday, and we had a severe storm there and heavy rains and wind, and then my wife developed a migraine, and we weren't able to leave till this morning, so we didn't get into Pittsburgh till early this afternoon. So she was all ready to come, and she just didn't feel very good. So I said, well, better to stay home if you don't feel like coming. Appreciate your prayers for her. She's had her problems and trials this year, and with had cataract operations and tests on her lungs and her heart because she was having shortness of breath, probably just a sign of old age, I guess, you know. But now they're trying to find out what the problem is. I think it's probably something in the esophagus, and we're not sure. But anyways, she also gets tires quickly and has those kind of problems. But we just commit her to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of her, I'm sure. We were here last year with my youngest daughter. She's in Asheville. She works in the Grove Park Inn in Asheville. She's a housekeeping manager there. She attends at the Asheville Bible Chapel. My oldest daughter and her family moved to from Asheville to St. Cloud, just south of Orlando. So we're kind of missing them. But so appreciate your prayers for them as well. It's good that you have the handbook to pray. I don't know if you do it here, but in some assemblies, each family has to have to get a handbook, right? And they pray for the people each day. That's a good idea. We'd like to show a few pictures in a few moments. The trip we took last year to Bolivia. But first of all, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture, just a verse or two. In Psalm 55, we'll just read a couple of verses. So I said, oh, that I had wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. And then verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. When we think of when we have problems and trials, most of us probably ask the question, why, Lord? Right? And I was thinking about what is our attitude towards trials? Usually, when we have a trial or a problem, what happens? We resort to anger or resentment. And that's not the right attitude to have. I know I struggle with this myself. I think we probably make a couple of mistakes. I know I do. There's a failure to anticipate trials, and then we harbor a fear of trials. But we should not try to escape the trials, but we should realize that David here, and all his trials and problems he had, he said that he would like to just fly away and be at rest. Usually we try to escape the trial, but we know that God is still on the throne and he is still in control. And it's important. Jesus even promised us that we would have trials in this world. Be not afraid. We'll have trials and difficulties, but he said he overcame those and he is with us in trials. So he promised us trials, but he is with us. And I just want to mention a couple of things here. When we have a trial, what can we learn for the glory of God? What can we learn for the glory of God? Usually what happens is, when we have a trial, and I'll show you this sheet here very quickly. What do you see on the sheet of paper? A black dot, right? Anything else? Well, a black dot. When we have a problem, we focus on this, right? Instead of looking for deliverance from the problem, we focus on the problem. Instead of focusing on the white part, all the many blessings we have in the Lord. And the problem is, I know all of us do, I do sometimes, we have a problem, we focus on that problem, and we forget about all the blessings that the Lord has given to us. I don't read the comic strip too much, but once in a while I read it. I was reading the other day the classic Peanuts comic strip. Lucy says to Linus, you know, overpopulation is a real problem. You should be worried about it. Some night you're going to go to bed, and when you get up the next morning, there'll be no place for you to stand. And Linus says, why should I worry? I'll just go back to bed. At least he had an answer to that. I think his attitude was right with that problem. Do we have a sincere desire to do his will? It's another thing. We should be desirous to do his will. And when adversity comes or trial comes, we hesitate to accept the will of God. It's not what we see, but how we see it that reveals our attitude. Our attitude is so important. What does God want to teach me? Psalm 16:8-19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. What does God want to teach me? We should not complain. It's easy to complain. But it says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The question is it possible to give thanks and complain at the same time? It's not possible. It's not possible to complain and give thanks at the same time. Somebody said, it's not what happens to us that counts, but what we do with what happens to us. And we should be ready to forgive others, those that hurt us. When somebody hurts me, I should be willing and ready to forgive that person, and then my soul is free. And Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Not always. Always. Not sometimes, but always. Ready to rejoice in the Lord. So our focus should be on the source of deliverance rather than on the problem that faces us. We should be willing to learn what can we learn for the glory of God when we face a trial. What does God want to teach me through this? We should not complain. In everything, we should give thanks. We should be ready to forgive those that hurt us, and we should rejoice. I know sometimes it's hard to have a good attitude when you have trials. I struggle with that. Remember when our daughter in Colombia, we had a severe tremor, and it was really dark. The lights went out, and she was in her room, and she's very fearful of the dark. And so we went over to comfort her and said, no, Jesus takes care of you. Don't worry. We're here too, and Jesus takes care of me. And then she said, with just something that really surprised me, took me by surprise, she said, if Jesus really cares for me, why doesn't he turn the lights on right away? Well, that's sometimes how we think too, you know. We want to see, you know, the Lord is always with us, but he puts us through a trial for a reason, and we should not complain. Anyways, there's a few more things to say, but we should regard them as opportunities to glorify God. It causes us to grow, to build our faith. It equips us to comfort others. It keeps us from trial, from pride. Keeps us from falling into sin. And the verse in Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry spirit does good like medicine. A broken spirit dries the bones. A cheerful dispensation is a very powerful aid to healing. And a broken spirit saps the person's vitality. We all probably heard of Murphy's Law. If anything goes wrong, it will go wrong at the worst possible time. And that's what we sometimes think, right? Just one thing. One more thing. A testimony very shortly before we look at some pictures. A good friend of mine, he's a Quechua brother. He speaks Spanish and Quechua. I did a conference with him where he spoke in Quechua and I translated into Spanish. I spoke into Spanish and he translated into Quechua. And he was born blind, but he married a fine Christian girl. She wasn't blind, and she had two daughters. They weren't born half blind, but they were They all had their sight. So I asked him one time, how do you feel, you know, not having seen your wife all these years, there's grown daughters now, and your daughters? He said, well, there's not many things worthwhile seeing in this world anyway. And I thought, well, that's true. And one day I'll see my two daughters and my wife, and one day I'll see the Lord Jesus face to face. Wow. You know, that was really, what an attitude. What an attitude. And he's a powerful preacher, a fine Christian man. And there's many more things we can say, but sometimes we ask the Lord why. God is not obligated to give us answers, but he promised us his grace. So may the Lord help us when things don't go our way. You know, I struggle with this. I have to ask the Lord to help me with this. We all struggle with this, I'm sure. How do we respond to the trial that the Lord sends our way? He has a purpose in each of the trials that we face and problems that we face in life. Okay, we'll show a few pictures. I don't know what you're already set up. We're already set up here. Now, I don't know if you can see. I'm standing right in front of somebody here. Or I'll stand over to the left a bit. Is that okay if I stand over here? Good? Can you see now? Maybe I should hang from the ceiling. I'll stand right in the middle here. This picture a little bit dark, but you can see that Bolivia, on the right in the middle of, it's called the heart of South America, right in the middle of South America is Bolivia. And it's the poorest nation in South America. The farmers are the poorest in the world. And for us to go down there, leaving from Pittsburgh, it takes us almost 2 days. We have to stay overnight, one night in a city, in Santa Cruz, to get to the town, which is, you may not be able to see it, there's a little black dot down just before the Argentinian border. Bolivia is surrounded by Brazil, Peru, Chile, Argentina, and Paraguay. It's a landlocked country. If you remember last year when I mentioned this, it's the only landlocked country in the world. Why? Because Bolivia has no access to the ocean. They lost it through the wars with Peru and Chile, and they're trying to get at least maybe off the Chilean coast. Chile has over 3,000 miles of coastline, and Bolivia's trying to get 30 miles, and they won't give it to them. Okay, well, that's the problem they face. This is the trip we made last year. We're not able to go this year as we had thought because of health issues and different problems we're facing. Believers were expecting us to come, but we're not able to make it this year, but we may try to go next year. Next. Okay, there you see maybe this is a picture of Bolivia again, but with all the different provinces. Down almost in the middle of the screen there, you'll see that like a purple with an arrow going down, like a pointing down. It's the smallest department in Bolivia, but it's one of the richest because it has 86% of the natural gas reserves, and a lot of people go there because of the climate. Next. The city called Tarija, it's a city of about almost 300,000 people. There are just four assemblies in there. The newest one is about 5 years old, four assemblies, and about 12 large Mormon temples that are in different parts of the city. Next. We have an altitude of about 6,000 feet above sea level. They have four seasons, the opposite of what you have here, but they're not as severe, maybe. Some of the believers that always come to meet us at the airport, it's great to see them after a year and to meet with them and to meet in their homes and to fellowship with them. Next. This is the home we stayed in, one of the believers' homes. It's a big home. We stayed on the two floors in the back part of the building in a fairly good neighborhood. Next. This is the family we stayed with. We gave them little keychains with flash animals with flashlights on, with a light on it. Javier and his wife next to him, Lisbeth, Christian family. They are really into the Lord's work. She works in a public school, but she has to teach according to the laws of the government now with the leftist president. She has to teach communism and also animism. So, but she has to do it. But the students still ask her questions about the Bible. That's a good opportunity. Javier on the left, he's turned into be a teacher of the word, and he travels to different assemblies and helps in the teaching. And it's always been a joy to be with them and to stay with them and enjoy the Bolivian food. Next. You have to keep your head down when you walk in Bolivia because some of the sidewalks are not too not easy to walk on. So you just got to watch your step a lot of times. Next. Another part of the sidewalk, downtown. Next. The narrow streets named after a Spanish general. Bolivia was dominated by the Spanish, and the Spanish exploited their silver and gold, and they used the Quechua and Aymara Indians and the African slaves to do the job for them, to exploit their silver and gold. But Simon Bolivar made a trip to North American, Europe, and he was born in Venezuela, but he liberated the five countries of Bolivia, Peru, Venezuela, Ecuador, and in 1825, Bolivia became a republic in 1825. Next, but it was heavily dominated by the Spanish. A lot of see still quite a few Spanish churches, Catholic churches, but the government's trying to do away with all the religions. But the president wants to keep his religion, which is animism. Next, and we should go in the springtime. Usually in September, October, in the springtime, they've just never seen such beautiful roses and all kinds of roses. Next. Different kinds of flowers in the springtime. Next. Dogs. You can tell my wife likes dogs. I think every home has about two or three dogs. And when they have to do their business, they just go out in the street and they just roam the streets. There's no control over the dogs. And so they have to watch your step a lot, too, when you go out. But this family had three dogs. And we saw them last year. Again, next. There's a BBN radio station there. There's about 10 or 12 in the country, and which is good. And this is reaches out to in that area, and the Lord is blessing in that way too through a Spanish radio, BBN. Next. There's a nice, you have to be very slim to walk on that walk downtown. Next. You see some of the older vehicles and some of the newer ones too. You see a lot of new vehicles. The Tarija, Bolivia doesn't have much industry, so you see a lot of vehicles, you know what that means. It means a lot of drugs are coming into the country. And there's not much industry, not much for people to do. A lot of people come to the city because they like the climate, but then they come to Tarija, but they can't find work. Next. Every Saturday, there's a street that the Indians come in every Saturday, the whole day. They come in from the countryside, and they bring their fruits and vegetables and spices and meats and whatever. And you can get, everything's organic. Everything's organic. It's all comes straight in fresh from the country. And, of course, when you get home, you have fruits or vegetables. You have to wash them good, but it's good. Next. There's also some places where they can sell souvenirs and different things downtown. But this industry is not doing too well in Bolivia. There's not that many tourists that used to go into Bolivia. Next. This lady we usually go to get like gifts for our daughters. Silver is very reasonable, right? And we try to cheer her up and try to witness to her every time we go. She hasn't accepted the Lord, but then you never know. And so we usually go and see her almost every year we're there. Next. You can see what that picture means there. Two people at a door, two ladies, a door with an umbrella, Jehovah's Witnesses, very active and spreading their false doctrines or false teachings, and they gain an entrance into some of the homes, and that just shows us how we should be very willing to also knock on doors and present the gospel to people who are being led astray. Next. Okay. Coca. This is cocoa. Coca. Bolivia and Peru, coca is grown in the mountains and of Peru and Bolivia, and they produce about 80% of all the coca. Coca that is grown, and the sale of that, those coca leaves, they sell them. They go to the traffickers and to Colombia to be processed into cocaine, and this guy, we were having a meal with this family, and this guy pulled out this bag with his green leaves in them, and thought, oh boy, what's going on here? Coca leaves. He said that he uses it, he takes it a little bit after every meal, because he says it's good. The doctor said he should take it for his heart. It's good for his heart. He's had heart problems. And you can buy it for a very reasonable price, a small bag for a few pesos of these leaves, and the farmers chew on them because sometimes they don't have enough to eat for maybe 2 or 3 days, so they chew on the coca leaves, which gives them strength to do their work and a bit of extra energy. But the problem with that is it takes the enamel. If you chew it too much, it takes the enamel off your teeth. But they say it's also good for your lungs and for your heart. So, next. But a lot of it goes to Colombia. The sale of raw coca goes to Colombia, and they make almost over $2 billion a year on that. And you can just see it anywhere in some of the shops. You can buy whatever you want, and they'll sell it to you. But you could never do that in the country of Colombia. Next. Taxis. If you want to be a taxi driver, all you have to do is stick a sticker on your front windshield, and you're a taxi. Because some are registered with different companies, but others are not. And so there's a lot of old taxis around, and people just trying to make a living because there's no industry hardly. There's nothing for people to do. And so they get these old cars fixed up, and you can get a ride across town very reasonably for per person. They might charge, might come to 20 cents or 25 cents per person. I'm talking about American money. Next. Seen some of the older Jeeps, too, that are still They use a lot of natural gas now, converted the engine to natural gas, and also use gasoline and natural gas. Jeep is pretty common, especially in the country areas. Next. We also had to spend some time at the dentist. And one of the best dentists in town, where you can get an implant done for about $700 or $800. Here it's about $4,000 or $5,000. But every time we go, we get checked out and get things done. We had a crown done last year, and this lady there, when we were there a few years ago, she accepted the Lord as well. And so we go every year to see the dentist. And now I discovered lately, having a checkup here, I need 7 crowns. 7 crowns. Next. Okay, this is lady in the middle. Is Betty and her son Diego. He's also a doctor. He's a dentist, and that's his mother there. And they came to know the Lord not too long ago. They are need to be discipled too, and we're trying to get the believers in the church to disciple them. But it's always a joy to see them, and the people are very friendly, very hospitable. Next. Here's a boy, a young fellow working on shoes, and they use the old tires from a car. They try to make a living as well to sell shoes, and they go down to the market. Also leather, they get some leather, and they make these sandals, and they go down to the market and sell them. Next. This is the building of the main church there, which was started. The first evangelical church started in the city almost 80 years ago by a missionary called William Parrish. A British missionary started the work there. And it's still there in the same place. They have, every couple of years, they have a national meeting for young people that come from all over the country. And it's good to see believers there in that place. These are mostly maybe from the upper class, next class type of people. Next. This is the breaking of bread in the main church. They break bread. Many seem to come for the breaking of bread, more than maybe even the Sunday school, but there's always a good number there for breaking of bread. Thank you. Next. This is part of the Sunday school there in that first building. And this is the another meeting that Shirley's having with the ladies in, that is in the same church, the first church. Yeah. Okay. We were privileged to attend our first Bolivian wedding. It was quite the thing. It was supposed to start at 4:30, didn't start till 6:30. That's pretty common, you know. I mean, they don't care about the time. We got there just at 4:30. Nobody was there. And so we waited and waited for 2 hours. It was a beautiful Christian wedding, both Christians and both professional young people. And there they are. It was good to be there. And what happens after there's a cake, the wedding cake. These two people are interior decorators, so they really decorated the place up. Really nice. It was really, really nice. The problem is, after the ceremony, the preacher and the, do I have that picture there or not there? And the wedding couple, they go out and drive around the town for at least an hour while we're waiting for the food to be served for them to come sitting around the tables. And I'm telling you, we didn't finish till after midnight. And after that time, it's hard to get transportation, get anywhere. Anyways, here's some of the people we were with and the couple behind us, Fernando and his bride there, Vanessa. It's just good to be with them. We just enjoyed our time with them a lot. This shows you call the gymnasium behind the building, which we helped them put in a floor, and before it was just a bunch of garbage and rubbish in there, so we helped them fix up things, and they put walls up and roof, and so they use that for special events, and also they use it for camps. They work a lot with children, too. Next. And this is the car that couple went out in, the 53 Chevy. 1953 Chevy. While we're waiting for them to come back so we could get some food, have the reception. Next. Another couple, this fellow on the right, studied dentistry because that city teaches dentistry, and he's a Peruvian. And we were not there for the wedding. They were married last February, this February of this year, and his wife, Ines, another fine Christian couple seeking to serve the Lord. This is the doctor on the left, Edwin, and the family we stayed with. And whenever we get sick, we'll call him, and he'll come anytime. He'll just come right to the house with all his equipment and everything and takes care of us. So that's nice to have. We've had a couple of sessions when we were really got sick, and the Lord had just had sent him to us to help us. Next. One thing that we like to do is we have a meal with them, a meal with different families. Almost every day we are invited to eat with a different family, which is good because we get to know them, their children. Excuse me, they have problems, they have questions, marital problems, and we have a chance to talk with them and speak with them. Well, I don't know how this got in there. This is the Spanish group in Raleigh that we were working with, and their little choir that they had. And this got somehow into the Bolivian thing. Okay, fish. They love to eat fish, but it's so bony. They get their fish from Argentina because the fish has just been depleted in Peru, so they get their fish in Argentina. Another family we spent time with, the meal, and another Christian family, they had barbecued fish. I mean, it was just great. You know, just on the grill. And they make another thing which is called salteñas, special flour. And inside there is you can do chicken and vegetables. Another thing that we eat. And another, it's a Quechua family. They speak Spanish as well. And he was helping live with BBN, the radio station, and their two little daughters. Before we left, they took most of them got together, we took a picture with them just before we left, the last time we were with them, and they also served a nutritious meal, a good meal. Next. This is the second church now. The second church is mostly Quechua, and Shirley's having a meeting there with them. Next. Soup. If you don't have soup, it's not a meal. We have to have soup. And the soup is homemade. It takes time. They even make soup out of peanut soup. It's a long process, but the problem is if they do the chicken, they leave the skin, and so it just, you know, it makes it real. It's really, it doesn't help your cholesterol level, you know. It's a fat, isn't it all? So we always get a checkup from our doctor before we leave. Next. Oh, we also always bring reading glasses. Most people can't afford to go to optometrists. They try on different glasses, and one that suits them, they can take them. So we were able to give quite a few away. This is another Quechua family that are taking advantage of their glasses. Next. This is in one of the poorer churches there. Happy to have the glasses so they can read their Bibles. And this family took us out on a day, cloudy, rain. It wasn't rainy, but they took us out, and we had a day in the country with them. It was really nice by a river. And this is one of Shirley's best friends. She's a Quechua woman, and some of the Quechua women don't speak Spanish, so she will translate. Shirley will give the whole message, whatever it is, 20 or 30 minutes, then she'll translate into Quechua every word that Shirley has said. So, and there's no tables or picnic tables. They just brought a sheet, you know, a plastic sheet lay it on the floor. They have grilled chicken on the grill and beef and all kinds of veggies. Really good. And big chicken. Big chicken. And big eggs. There's another, some more people getting glasses. Our time is going quickly here. Another couple that we were able to counsel and help as they had marital problems. And this is the third church, which is a Quechua. They're just putting up their building. And I show this picture because you see some of the people come in because it's dusty in the area they live. There's not very little pavement. So they come in with the sandals, with their rubber sandals. And this is some of the kids at Sunday school, the children. There's a lot of children, do a lot of work with children, camps with children. There's 50% of children are 15 years of age or younger. There's also opportunity to share the word with the people there, and it's always a joy to be with them and the children and school next. And this is a lake close to the city, which they get their water from. You can see that street. It's all cobblestones. And when they have enough money, they just put asphalt over that. But it's very rough riding. Some of the little places we were coming beside the lake there. It's a nice place people go to, and people have cottages along the lake as well. The road, mountains around the city. And this brother took us one day in his vehicle as he was on vacation, so he was able to take us. And this is one of the churches in the country, which is probably built by now. Last year we were there, and they're just getting the foundation put in a very small Catholic town. And this is the fellow on the left of Shirley there, that couple, Sebastian and his wife, are taking care of things there in that little town. And the new work started about 4 or 5 years ago. They need to have their own building. This is a lookout that we go up to and just look over this, have a view over the city, and the river flowing down through the middle of the city. Next. And this is the meal that they gave us in the Quechua church, a second church there, under a sheet. And before we left, they gave us a typical Ruana and some souvenirs from there. Okay, we see those people. You saw those people before. I think you did. No, we were getting. It's always a sad time to leave, but anyways, there's a little airport there, and it can barely take 2 planes on there to come to taxi in, but sometimes you have 3 trying to get in at the same time. Anyways, this is the picture inside of the first church, and in the evening, the fountains are run in one of this Bolivar Park, and reminds me of John 9:4. The Lord Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming and no man can work. We have opportunities. Opportunities are now. The night is coming when we will not be able to work. We need to take advantage of the opportunities that the Lord gives us. And so may the Lord help us to take advantage of the opportunities that he gives to us to share the gospel with other people. Thank you. That's it. Our time is gone. We appreciate your prayers for us. We've been living at the village for almost 5 years now, and it hasn't seemed that long, but there's always enough to keep us busy. We also help with the Spanish work. Also, there's, if you want interested, there's only a few sheets here when bad things happen and what to do. And also, this is by Charles Swindoll, Attitudes. It's very interesting. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not. And another, some typical things from Bolivia there. And we appreciate your prayers for that. And pray for the Bolivians. Pray especially for there's 20 full-time workers, Bolivian workers. They work full-time. The assemblies don't have the vision to really support them that well. And they have to do jobs like the fellow you saw there, Javier. He also has a taxi that he drives part-time. His wife has to teach part-time. So they're real gifted people. Many of them are very gifted, and they don't get the support they really need. So pray for the there's about 20 full-time national Bolivian workers. I guess our time is gone. I'm sorry, but I went over time here. Okay. Our Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this assembly here. We thank you for their interest and concern for missions and for all the different activities that they are involved in here. We just pray for your blessing upon each one, each family. Pray for those who are probably facing difficulties and trials, and give them grace and wisdom to overcome, to look to you and to know that you have a purpose in each problem or trial that we have. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the great salvation that we have and for the many wonderful benefits that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you for this time together, and we pray for your blessing upon each one of us now and for this evening. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.